Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, the unapologetic show about apologies. And this week, it's so hot outside, I've literally had a Slurpee every single day, sometimes two in a day. And that's how the rest of the August is going to go, and I have no regrets about it.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, well, this is Moana Del Sheikhi, and this week, I'm doing a lot of traveling and excited to eat airport food. It's going to be so much fun for me.
And it's going to be very, very, very delicious. And then I am Oha Lopez. And this week I am surrounded by trash, essentially because I've been doing a cleaning of my entire home. And you know it always gets worse before it gets better. And boy, does it get really fucking bad before you start throwing away. So anyways, if anybody comes over to my house right now, they will absolutely assume that I'm profoundly in a mental illness. But it'll be better soon.
You know, I mean, hoarders is, it's a thing. I mean, I think we just discovered that our ex-president, 45, might be a hoarder. You know,
he just got tendencies there. Yeah.
He got raided. And I hear there was an entire room. Am I getting this right? Is there a room devoted to Charles Barkley or something along those lines? I'm pretty sure there was a sports room. There was collectibles. Basically, he had a room of collectibles. It sounded a little hoarderish.
You know, yeah, this FBI raid, I think it should... I hope it was filmed because I have a place for it to be shown, which is a special episode on MTV Room Raiders.
Whoa. Okay. Would pay to watch that.
It's a great show. I mean, it's disgusting. It's bad. I don't know why people agree to be on it. A lot of MTV shows from the past, I have no idea why people consent to be on them. For example, Next.
Greatest dating show ever.
Date My Mom. It's so much is happening there.
I'm sorry. To me, that was the golden era of reality television dating.
100%.
So innocent. So lovely.
100%. I loved watching it. I just do not understand why people agree to be on it. That was insane.
What was the one where they got off of the bus?
That was next.
Oh, yeah. My God. Okay. I remember watching that one from Venezuela. And per usual, I was like, man, American people are crazy. Like, yeah. What is happening in that country? What is going on?
Yeah, for the longest time, I thought that was the only way to date in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, I moved here and I just hung out by bus stations.
Yeah. I would watch that show because, like, I only wanted to see the person who wasn't even allowed to step their toe onto the grass. Like the person before they could even get a foot off the bus was like, next. Because if you're that far away and the person says next, oh man, that has got to be not a great feeling.
It's soul crushing. It is absolutely
soul crushing. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking about problematic shows and problematic stuff and all of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a, I have an opinion this week, which, you know, every week we do an I'm sorry, but where we, you know, reveal our controversial opinions. 2 weeks ago, I said how much I hate iced coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to Portland, you know, I'm going to Portland this week. And one of my friends were like, oh, yeah, you're going to be here. Let's go and, you know, let's go to a lake.
Okay. I already know this is directed at me. I have to make the disclaimer that Mo literally texted me this morning and he's like, this has nothing to do with you. I hope you take no offense. And I was like, about what? And then said nothing else. And this is what it was. This is it.
I am. Here's the thing. Okay. I'm ready to admit if my friends are listening, every time we went to a lake, I hated it so much. I hate swimming in lakes. I think they're so cold. And it's truly unethical of anyone to be like, wow, go swim in a, 'cause like, here's the thing. You never get used to it. You never get used to how cold the water is and you're freezing the whole time and it's not a good time. And I don't know why everyone in Oregon loves this shit. I think people should only swim in the sea, in the ocean. And it has to be warm as well. You know, like Pacific Ocean does not count in like Cannon Beach and all of that stuff because it's also freezing cold. It should be warm. That's why I think the Mediterranean like sea is the best because it's, you know, it's warm, it's beautiful. Lakes are weird.
Mm. I can honestly say I have never, ever swam in a lake. And I think that has more to do with the fact that I can swim, but I don't know. I feel like I won't float in a lake. I feel like you have to be a very strong swimmer for lake life swimming because I just feel like there's no salt water. There's no buoyancy. Like, I don't know if I can swim in a lake. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you right now, you both sound like aliens that have come down to Earth describing what a lake is like, okay? Lakes are beautiful. They're gorgeous. They're idyllic. And the cold water just jars your organs and your life, like, up and awake. It makes you feel amazing. I'm going to tell you both, I think this is the wrongest that you've ever been, I actually think, Mo. You know, I prefer a lake, I think, to an ocean. I love an ocean, too, don't get me wrong, but I mean, chilling on a dock, hanging out with some old dudes, fishing, and then getting in the lake afterwards. That's what I thought of the American experience was. That's why I moved here.
Have you seen Lake Placid?
No.
Our beloved, rest in peace, Betty White. You haven't seen Lake Placid?
I haven't seen Lake Placid.
Well, go ahead and watch Lake Placid, and then you come back and tell me if you think
Have you seen Jaws?
Of course.
Have you seen A Perfect Storm?
Of course.
Have you seen all of those, Alaska fishing shows?
There is literally so many horror movies and so, that I can talk about that has to do with lakes and creature that lives in lakes. I think you're just wrong. Also, sharks? What kind of seas have you been going to?
It's many seas. Many of them. Also, no hurricanes, tsunamis, no typhoons, and no shark attacks, okay? Oh, there's a shark in North Carolina. There's sharks in North Carolina. That's all I'm
saying.
That's
on you for being swimming in North Carolina while you're there.
It's a lovely place, okay? It's a lovely state, and you would love it if you went. This is a full-on agree to disagree. I feel this is a full-on, this is a lot. I'm going to have to really digest this and go home and take this and commune with God about this. And I'm going to pray for the both of you.
I really appreciate the children actors who are coming forward now. Like, there was a documentary HBO released, I think it was like during lockdown, like maybe in 2020 or 2021, called like Showbiz Kids. It had like Evan Rachel Woods and it had... I think it was directed by like Alex Winter and, you know, it had, a few child stars and just talking about like the industry and, you know, just like how it can just eat you up. And then obviously there was just recently the release of that book by Jeanette McCurdy, who was the star of iCarly, went on to star in Sam and Cat with Ariana Grande, these Nickelodeon series. And obviously the title of the book are already Cat. You know, catches you because you're like, I think it's called I'm Glad My Mom Died, right? And you're like, whoa, that's really major. But, I actually downloaded the Audible, so I haven't listened to the full book yet. But just from like the interviews she's done, whoa, I mean, it sounds like, you know, her mom was like living vicariously through her. And then just like, you know, and she ended up with all of these, you know, this disordered eating and ended up in positions with adults that she didn't feel comfortable with. And yeah, I mean, I just think there's a lot to say when, you know, you can turn out one way or, you know, you can get help and then end up with Jeanette and healing, you know?
Yeah. And it's crazy because it really does seem like a combination of the parent and the studio, because those are the two entities that it takes in order for a kid to be put in situations like that. And I think we've heard like kind of like that term emancipation and all these like very specific terms that we've been hearing for fucking ever around child stars. And like Laura Dern was emancipated. I know Drew Barrymore, Courtney Love, and then Courtney Love's daughter was also emancipated. There's a clear history of like kind of parents and studios taking advantage of kids. And it's not a conversation that's been kind of well known. And I think definitely this book is really bringing it to the forefront, because she talks about Nickelodeon too. Part of the book or what she gets interviewed about is that $300,000 sort of like hush money, essentially, to not speak about her experiences at Nickelodeon. And man, I'm fucking so sad that it happened to her. But also, I don't want like my childhood to get tainted. Like we enjoyed that shit. And it sucks that now, like every time I watch Rugrats or think about that time, on the other end of that is a group of like kids who were not being treated fairly and were being exploited, you know? That's a fucking bummer.
It is a bummer. But, you know, I've gone back and forth in my head about this, especially, you know, like, look, I grew up with The Cosby Show, and obviously that's its own thing. I think that there is a way that, you know, kids can still watch The Cosby Show and get the lessons out of it and it still be, you know, because it was still a good program at the end of the day. And we can distance ourselves from that. But yeah, you know, it's not surprising now, obviously, as an adult to know that the kids were going through this because like, duh. Yeah. I just, you know, it's so funny that you talk about emancipation, because I remember as a kid, even I was aware of these emancipations because I read a lot of gossip mags. I was always in the business. My mom would get like everything delivered to the house and I would just go through it. And I remember being like, I'm going to get emancipated from my parents. Like it was like, I mean, I really thought I was like, as soon as I can, I'm going to do my own thing, because it did seem like a cool thing to do. Now the fucked up part was some of the times these kids were getting emancipated solely because they couldn't trust their parents with their money.
Yeah.
And it was like the only way that they were going to have a future and like be able to like take care of their own money and hand it to like a guardian that wasn't going to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I was reading about them just in reading about Jeanette McCurdy. And so Laura Dern, that example is, and also like Alicia Silverstone is also emancipated, but they talk about emancipation as a way to get around child labor laws. And so that happened a lot in the 90s and 80s, because essentially once you're sort of declared an adult, then you no longer have to abide by the amount of hours that children have to work. And so studios would facilitate emancipations in order to allow children essentially to work more hours. And the parents would say yes. The parents would agree to it. The child would still live with their parents. They would still be technically under the scope of that parent emotionally, but under the law, they were considered adults. So even on emancipation on the good side, on the idea of like they're doing it even not because there's a situation at home, there's still this fucked up aspect of it that now these kids don't have to go to school and they still have to work full time as an adult.
I know. It's just the concept is insane to me in general. To just like want to live your dream through your kids. Here's my thing. Like if you still have dreams, just, I don't know, go out there and make them happen. Do not fucking have kids and be like, okay, I'm going to use you as a tool. Like, it's such a big conversation, obviously, you know, like how like we treat kids and like what we see like parenting is. I'm like, dude, I mean, like these kids do not belong to you.
Oh, but I will say what I love about Auntie Life is going to my friend's house who do have kids. And, you know, if I need a seltzer from the fridge, their little legs love to run over and do it. I'm just saying. There's like, when you say don't use kids as a tool, I'm like, oh, but you know, sometimes I need my phone plugged in and I'm like really in the middle of a show and like they love doing things for me.
Here's the thing. I'm the older brother, you know, like, and I had I asked my sibling to do so much things for me. Grab this, do this, and all of that. Yeah, kids love this shit. Like, they love being, like, feeling, like, useful. I'm like, oh, it just makes me an adult and everything. But I think it's just the concept of just, like, taking their whole childhood away from them and being like, okay, you work not only 40 hours a week, you work all day long. The summer, yes, you're going to work too. It's insane.
Especially in, you know, in Jeanette McCurdy's case, because she was paying the bills. You know, if your kid is paying your electric bill, paying your mortgage, paying your car note, okay, then we have a problem, right?
Yeah, you're the child here. They're the parent. Yeah.
Even like the most recent version of it wasn't even that long ago. Like Ariel Winter from Modern Family was another person who emancipated from her mom and from her family, ended up like living with her sister. But I remember when that stuff was coming out, I just was like, what is happening inside of a home that you're making that much money and still there's an affectation there? Like something is going so wrong. Like that kind of abuse stuff, it doesn't just happen in like, you know, poverty stricken sort of like areas. It's part of the like condition sometimes of being a kid. But I mean, I didn't have necessarily like an idyllic childhood, but I didn't have to fucking work, you know, like that's I didn't have to do any of that shit. And I can't even imagine. Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah. And I guess it's not, you know, for a lot of like the cases we've been seeing lately and people like who are speaking up and stuff. It's not just the working all the time and not having your childhood. It's like, you know, there's abuse and there's you know, creators making them like drink on set and like all of this shit where you like become less of a human and more of you know, you're just an object. They're just using to make money at this point, no matter what happens. And you're being forced to act like an adult. And you start to think that you're an adult, even though you're not.
Yeah, that really reminds me of like, and you know what, to bring a true moment of joy is let's all remember that Drew Barrymore put out that TikTok and that video of her in the rain with a wet hair, just looking out and telling people to go feel the rain. And Drew Barrymore was a child actor with a really fucked up upbringing. And I am very happy that Drew Barrymore feels good in the rain now.
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. We develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I mean, hey, there are like so many insane things happening this week. And I mean, Kiki, you might want to speak to this one since I think you were at the recording.
So, yeah, I was on Watch What Happens Live last week. And so, yeah, basically, there's always an after show. Like, there's usually, like, whatever's airing that night. The Watch What Happens Live after show will normally have one or two guests from that show just there to answer questions about the show.
Yeah.
And so...
Wait, so you were there for this, Kiki?
So, no. So, basically, they do have an audience now, but they have people who ask questions over virtual screens. So, mm-hmm. I was got still it, in Los it. Angeles. It tapes in New York. So, I was able to just, you know, Skype in and ask my questions. So, the episode that I was on was with Kathy Hilton and Crystal Kung Minkoff, who mm-hmm. Are on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And so you get to, like, the cool thing is like, while it's filming, you're getting to watch the show on your own screen, you know, before you come up for your question. So, we're watching the whole thing. And all they do is play games. They play a lot of games and ask questions or whatever. So, they're playing this game about, like, do you recognize this person? And they did that game with Kathy Hilton because it's this ongoing joke on the show about how she never recognizes people, because one time she saw Garcelle, who is a black, tall black woman, and she thought she was her sister Kyle, who is a short white woman. Okay. So, like, that is how big her vision is. And, like, at one time she reached into, to get like a, she thought it was like a Red Bull or something, and she was drinking, you know, like an alcoholic, like a Truly or something like that. Like, she just has really, really bad vision. So, it's been on this ongoing joke. So, right before they're playing this game, and they put up a bunch of different people, like, and she didn't recognize a lot of them. Like, she kind of recognized Keanu Reeves, but didn't know his name. And,
oh my God.
You know, she didn't know, yeah. You know, any of these people.
Yeah.
It gets to Lizzo, and she says Precious, which, as we know, is a fictional character from the Lee Daniels film. And it's not even, you know, the real actress's name, which is, you know, Gabby Sidibe. And so immediately, like, I'm like, you know, I immediately go like, I'm like, you know, gasp, right? Like,
oh my God, can they hear you gasp at this point?
Well, maybe the people in the production can, but they can't. I'm not on camera yet. So nobody, you know, can see me on TV. And I'm just stunned. And, you know, they pan over and obviously everyone sort of in the audience is like laughing and whatever. And, you know, Crystal tries to make it better, like, oh, you know. And so people got really riled up. And look, rightfully so. There is obviously a history where, you know, the whole thing of all black people look alike. On top yes. of it, the fact that every larger black woman is called Precious is like, that's just, it's so bad, right? It's so bad.
So bad.
In that moment, though, I legitimately was like, I don't think she knew who Lizzo was, because she's not aware of pop culture in any way, shape, or form. And I legitimately don't think she knew who Lizzo was. It was just not great that she defaulted to the only, larger black woman that was in her head, because that's what made it so bad, right? Because on top of the fact that it's not even a real person, it's a character. I mean, look, the only reason it got even more cringy is because leading up to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know, all the Bravo accounts are wanting to know what's happening while it's filming. And there's a rumor that's been going around that while the cast was in Aspen, that Kathy said some racist and homophobic things, allegedly.
Whoa, now,
Kathy adamantly denies this, but people are saying this happened. We don't know. So everybody's waiting for this Aspen trip, which should be coming any episode now. And so I just sat there and thought, was like, this is not how you want to lead into this, because I don't know how this Aspen trip is going to go. But if this is where it started, I'm like, ooh, Kathy's team is going to be, you know, hard at work. So it was just, and so anyways, I will say this, you know, I thought, you know, Muhammad, I think you would appreciate it. Like, immediately my first reaction was, because I was coming up right after that to ask the question. I was the first person on the screen.
Oh my, that was after.
Exactly.
Oh,
so the
my
first
God.
Person she sees is another big black woman after that this just happened. And so, of course, my immediate reaction was I wanted to get on and be like, hi, Kathy, it's me, Precious. But like, I was like, you know what? No, that's, I was like, don't do that.
Burn that bridge. Burn that bridge. Kiki, you would have killed. America would be talking about you right now.
I mean, hey, you still got to do it. I mean, this, yeah. Truly, even without you saying it, this could have gone in so many wrong ways. She would have been. I feel like it would have took it to a whole new level if she looked at you and thought now she was doing the right thing. And was like, Lizzo, I am very sorry.
I'm very sorry, Lizzo.
Can you imagine if they thought? Maybe that's why. Because I mean, when I came up on the screen, what if she did think I was Lizzo?
She's just shaking. She's like, no, 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 no.
They it's had her trap. Behind the scenes? Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
I know this is bad. I know this is bad, but she's... That's just, why do I have, like, a soft spot for that? Why do I have a spot? Like, why is this bringing up, like... this old cute lady vibes for me. What am I just so wrong? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you do like swimming in cold lakes, so it's...
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. <It's true. laughs> Throwing it in my face.
I mean, look, I'm not throwing it in your face. I'm just trying to shock your system since that's something you like.
Oh, wow. Why have podcast co-hosts and friends when you can have enemies like this?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
Why even be close to people when they just rip on you day and night? The both of you have taken this podcast as a platform to ruin my life. And I just want to know that it will not go unnoticed. I'm plotting a very slow revenge. It's going to take forever from now, and it might actually be imperceptible.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few, and of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Talking about friends who flip on other friends.
I'm going to call you Mohanad Transition Ilshaki. That's going to be your middle fucking name. Yeah. Okay, go.
Well, yeah, because we're going to talk about also what happened this week about with Laura Ingraham and
and yes.
Trump. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Go ahead. I can't wait to hear your take.
She said that Americans are exhausted from political conflict, and I might think it's time to turn the page on Trump. And I cannot imagine doing too many crimes that Fox News is like, I don't think we can do this anymore.
Yeah, that says a lot.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're not into you anymore. We literally found a guy who's also from Florida, originally from Florida, as crazy as you are, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go with that, which is, you know, Governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes me truly, honestly, like, let's pump some money into making Trump think he should run. Because I want the two, I want him and Ron to really go at it. I want the whole thing to get so crazy, insane between the two of them that they're like, and we'll just be like, look over there, don't see us bringing these like totally normal candidates that are like a good option.
I agree with you. No, I honestly think, I mean, whoever is in charge of, you know, campaigning in like within the Democratic Party, like, this is what you should be doing. You should be like, oh, they're trying to replace you with another younger, more crazier version of yourself. I wouldn't stand for that. What are you, a child?
But you know what's so sad too, that you say it has to be the Democratic Party, because like I also have lost faith there, and I'm like, the fact that we can't have an independent that we think could like legitimately win makes me so sad. Like, how did we get to this place where like literally only two parties constantly decide our fate every turn?
I know. And I think the worst part about it is that every time, I mean, I know there's like other parties supposedly, you know, and they run and, you know, but they don't have like that big of a base and all of that. And, you know, but then you have like someone like Andrew Yang right now, who's like trying to start the Forward Party. And I'm just like, my man is, with all due respect, you're a clown.
Yeah. Absolutely.
With all due respect always leads to the most disrespectful thing ever, by the way.
Bro, stop. Like to me, like Andrew Yang, I'm just like, if a politician was an NFT, you know, it's like, I don't understand what is it that you're doing or what you're trying to accomplish. And I know that the people who like you are, you know, think they're smart. And also like, so your version of what a third political party is what if Democrats and Republicans got together and they had no beliefs? They just believed in nothing. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, because he was asked on, I believe it was CNN, about like what is the Forward Party, his party's name, like stance on like Roe v. Wade, and he just did not give an answer. He was just like, we're just trying to get something that all Americans can agree on. I'm just like, you already lost, my man. Like, what are you even talking about?
What happened to Andrew? I felt like he came out like so strong, and then what happened? Because the last time I looked, I'm like, you're a hot mess.
100%. Like, this is the craziest story. Because, like, remember, like, he ran to become the mayor of New York City. And he was on top. He was killing it. He literally ruined his whole campaign by tweeting. Every day he would tweet something and lose more support. He had the votes. He was going to win this. And he ruined it by literally just every day tweeting the most insane shit, trying to be relatable, trying to be fun. And he's not any of these things.
None of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he lost. Like, it's just the way he talks about everything makes no sense to me. Like, do you remember when he was running to become the mayor of New York City? And the way he, like, he always sounded like he read the Wikipedia page of New York City and just went for it.
He also is like a boss at your corporate financial job who really wants to be cool with the young people, kind of. But you know that this dude is your boss, so you're still not going to like welcome him into your fucking friend group. But he just hangs out at happy hour saying weird shit. That's Andrew Yang to me, personality-wise.
He also always sounds like he's on Shark Tank.
Like, he just, 100% like, of the time
he pitching. Goes out, like when he was running for mayor, he just goes on and he's like, okay, sharks, hear me out. The city is big, it never sleeps. We call it the Big Apple. There are rats there and there is a subway. It's hot, but it doesn't make any sense. Sharks, oh, New York, man. City. And it's like, bro, shut the fuck up.
I remember that the New York Times had asked all of the candidates what their favorite bagel orders were. And I don't remember what Andrew's was, but I'm pretty sure that's probably where I started judging him, because I'm sure it was terrible.
Well, remember when Zoe asked him what his favorite subway station was?
What did he say?
What did he say?
He said Times Square.
Oh, God. So then most likely he chose like cinnamon raisin bagel. I don't even know if he did, but he probably did.
Something psychotic and absolutely unhinged. Bad. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had so many people we talked about today who need to apologize, which, you know, moves us to our best segment, I'd say.
Yes.
Which is sorry, not sorry, where we either apologize to someone or we demand an apology. And like every week, I'm going to ask Oha to go first.
Yes, I'm cutting straight to the chase. I would like an apology from Kombucha. And I would like an apology from Kombucha because, honestly, it could be anything. I could open up a kombucha from one brand and it could be a flat, weird, acidic tasting mushroom thing, all the way to it could be essentially a sparkling soda with raspberry inside of it. And the truth is, I need some more uniformity around what we call a kombucha and what is not a kombucha, because my expectation is one thing and I am every single time disappointed. If it's orange juice, I know what I'm gonna get. If it's a Diet Coke, I know what it's about to taste like.
Yeah.
A kombucha, I have no fucking clue what I'm about to put in my goddamn mouth. So I would like an apology from that industry, and I would like for there to be some regulations and just some commitments around, you know, a little bit of uniformity as to what we're calling it. And that is my sorry, not sorry of the week.
I agree with you 100%. That being said, I've only tried kombucha maybe like once or twice in my life. Again, with the caveat that I used to live in Portland, Oregon. So I was forced to
try that. You were forced to. It's the national beverage of Portland.
Yeah, and I could never get into it. It just, you know, and it's funny because they tried to get you into it by describing what it is. And I'm just like, this is bad advertising.
It's going worse.
Yeah. You're making it sound very bad.
I feel like just in general saying, you know, with kombucha, I never know what I'm putting in my mouth. I feel like that just goes across the board with kombucha with me, because I'm like, every time I'm like, everyone's drinking it. So cannot. No, I can't.
Kiki, what's yours this week?
I think we're just apologizing to products this week, because, you know, want apologies from products this week, because I actually want an apology from all of the cheap, crappy luggage that I've had over the years, because it's like, I feel like I've gotten so many different types of bags, and like, it's just like, even when I pay a lot of money for them, they like fall apart, or it's like, they all look the same. If I have to check baggage and go to like a carousel, like, I never know which one is mine. But like, I finally feel like an adult, because I have gotten a piece of luggage that I'm so excited about. I'm so excited to take it places. It is like, I'm calling it like the Goldilocks of luggage, because it's like, it's not too pricey. It doesn't, you know, doesn't have the look of others. It's just like, it's just right. And it's ironic that I'm calling it the Goldilocks of luggage, because I got it in gold.
Oh, and,
you know, because I am officially a golden girl, and I've decided that, you know, I was on the website for hours. It's this line called Cowpack, and it's really cool because, you know, first of all, I lately have been really super conscious of where I spend my money lately, because I want to make sure it's going to like a good place. It's not, you know, being used for harm. And so Cowpack is actually, it's like an AAPI owned brand. So already loving that. And I did like a little bit of a dive on the history of the company, and it's family owned. It was started by this couple in LA, really cute backstory. And actually, like, they were one of the first companies to bring hard shell rolling suitcases to the United States, which is wild, because that's like the standard now.
They're
right?
So ubiquitous. Yeah.
So like, for them to be one of the first is like pretty cool. But I ended up spending like so many hours on the website, just because they had so many different options. I was like, okay, I kind of love, you know, this, you know, orange one. And I kind of love this, you know, rose gold one that has like the opening that you can put your laptop in. And so, anyways, I ended up deciding on this cute, you know, carry-on rolling gold bag, which I love. I cannot wait. And, you know, I love having, like, my favorite airport gear is, like, crossbody. Like, I love I either do a backpack or a crossbody bag, but I tend to like crossbody so that I can have easy access to, like, my laptop or my iPad or my phone just, like, really quickly right there as I'm going through the airport. And what's so cool about this is, like, so this, I got a cheetah one because I felt like that went with my gold bag. And if I'm not using it, like, let's say I decide to put the laptop, you know, like, somewhere else, I can fold this bag up. It's like a huge duffel bag, but it folds up into a square the size that I can just hold in my hand. Like, it's super. And like, so the website, they have like all of these different like accessories, like, you know, different cubes, you know, for packing, you know, clears cosmetic cases. They even have like electronics organizers. So, you know, oh, you wow. can like put your headphones, put your cords, put all those things. So everything is like neat and tucked away. I really love it. So anyways, CalPack, it's a CALPAK travel.com/I'm sorry. Use code I'm sorry, get 10% off. So worth it. I love it. It's like, it's my new, I think I will say hands down my favorite piece of luggage I've ever owned.
Maybe y'all could go to a lake with one and take, never like, put your, absolutely little, your little swimsuits and go to the goddamn lake.
Why no. would you go to a lake with a carry on? Like,
because it's a vacation. Mo, God. Oh, say fine. You're sorry, not sorry. Say yours.
Oh, you need to find God. Yeah.
Me too.
You know what? I didn't really know Kiki was talking about the luggage that inspired my sorry, not sorry, because I also got this piece of luggage, which is great because I'm traveling a lot for comedy, and I had this carry-on that I took with me, and I want to apologize to everyone at LaGuardia and JFK specifically. The carry-on I have is insane.
Why?
Like, literally, like, the noise that it makes is unethical.
It's noise pollution? You're apologizing for noise pollution?
Exactly, yeah. Especially with, like, you know, a name like Mohamed El-Sheikhi. I am not trying to bring more attention to me at the airport.
Yeah, right. Loud bags and Mohamed yeah. just don't go hand in
exactly.
hand.
Exactly, yeah. I'm already in their, like, you know, they're like, please keep it together list. And
yeah. yeah.
So I got the carry on from CalPack. I got it in black, obviously, because I was like, I just wanted to. I don't want to stand out, but also it's a great color. And I'm traveling tomorrow, and I cannot wait to just go smoothly. I think I might also do the thing because I like it so much. TSA put your luggage on the side because they found something in it.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, like something very dangerous, like, I don't know, toothpaste.
Bottle of water.
Exactly. I might just put like a big toothpaste in it. So when they put it on the side and they're like, and they asked, who does this carry-on belong to? I can be like, hey, it's me.
That's me, baby.
Because you do want to show it off. That's a good idea because I do want to show my, you know, like my goldness off. I want to open it up. I want people to peek around under the hood.
I hope TSA has a problem with us.
Yeah, I hope you have a problem. Yeah, because it's too cute. So everyone, yeah, get their CalPack. Go to CalPackTravel.com. Use code I'm sorry and get our CalPacks and let's make trouble.
And I'm going to announce that tomorrow at the TSA line. I'm going to be like, CalPackTravel.com/I'm sorry and code I'm sorry for 10% off. And the TSA agent gonna be like, what are you even talking about? And I'm just like, I just saying the code is I'm sorry for 10% off. Do you have hearing problems, buddy?
Oh, we're gonna be fucking unbearable at the airport.
My God. Yeah,
we're gonna be unbearable. We're going to make noise. I'm going to make a big stinking deal about this fucking, this carry-on that I have. I'm extremely excited about it. Literally, I haven't even put it away. I just have it in my living room so I can stare at it because I know I'm leaving in like 2 weeks. And so I don't need to put it away. I'll just stare at it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Well, until next week,
we're sorry.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yore, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'm Sorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm Scott Aukerman. And together we make up the show
Freedom!
We're comedians from Los Angeles who are also friends.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? And on our podcast, we just chat with each other, have fun, play games. It's just a good hang.
We just talk about everything that's happened in our lives ever before and up to now and what will happen next.
We see the future.
So the new season's out now. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get them.
Wherever.
Listen,
wherever.
Bye.
Freedom!
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jose Andres. Maybe you know me from my restaurants or maybe from Wall Central Kitchen, the organization I founded to feed people after disasters. Well, it's time for you to know my podcast, Longer Tables. Each episode, I get to know fascinating people in the most intimate way, through food. Stacey Abrams, Jojo Ma, Jane Goodall, Padma Lakshmi. I will answer questions from listeners too. Join me in building longer tables, not higher walls, whatever you get your podcasts.